This is an uncensored podcast about sex, sexuality, gender, and body stuff. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the person or persons sharing them. Some names have been changed to protect the anonymity of its participants. Hi guys, it is I, Drew Michael, and this is Make Sex With Me. I am joined today by a very special guest who I met at an open mic where I was actually doing comedy. It wasn't a comedy open mic. It was totally a writer's open mic, and I just do comedy at it because that's, I go last. I let them do their thing first, and then I spew my shit, and it's great. So our guest today is Nat Williams. Hi, Nat.
Hello, Drew. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for inviting me into your space.
You're welcome. You are. You're in my room. Nobody ever comes in here. The last person that was in here was my mom when I had COVID, and she just sat next to the door, and I was like in the bed, and she just like, I was like, get out of here. And she was like, no, I have to bring you soup. So that happened.
Not a fun time.
And I told myself that sometime, because my parents go away every summer, they have a cabin up in Michigan, and I told myself, oh, this summer I'm gonna do something sexy, because I have never had any kind of sexy time in this house, and I've lived here for 6 years, which means I haven't done anything sexy in like 6 years. And I still haven't, and they come back in like 2 weeks, so I'm just gonna like grab the nearest available person, probably a man, and have them into my bed. I don't know if that's a good idea. The nearest available man is a man who I'm pretty sure has schizophrenia, who like lives in the woods near my house. So it might have to be him.
Wow. Let me know how that goes.
I'll let you know. Well, all my friends think that I have a thing for homeless men. I do not. It's just that homeless men have a thing for me. And we can't help that. We can't help that. So you're now you live here.
Yes.
And you're from, do you want to say you're from Greenville?
Yeah, I moved from Greenville. So I moved from the upstate, but originally from Michigan. I think that was
a place
that we found in common when we
Yes. Okay. What part of Michigan are you from? Are you from like middle, upper?
I am from right on the hand. So down here, right where you fly in, DTW. That's where That's where I'm from.
Okay. Cool. When did you leave Michigan? Like a long time ago?
Yes. I left Michigan in 2006.
And what took you away from Michigan? Are you just like opportunity, wanted to see the world?
I wanted to get the fuck out of Michigan.
Did you want to get somewhere warmer?
I wanted to go someplace different. I'll be very honest with you, Drew. I would not have picked South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
I thought I would end up in Florida or somewhere out west.
Yeah.
But the powers that be decided that that was the door that I needed to open, or that opened, and for me to come down, and came down kicking and screaming. I was invited by my sister and her then husband, because he took a job down in Greenville.
Yeah.
And at first I was thinking, there's no way in hell I'm gonna go down there. There's nothing but cornfields and cows. That was what was in my mind. Okay. I'm not going to like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see, my sister was just, check it out. It might be a, it might be the door you're looking for. And I came down, loved it over a weekend, went back to work on Monday, and my boss pulls me in the back room and goes, your position here is done. And 30 days later, I found myself in Greenville.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like pretty much supposed to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe not forever, but it was supposed to happen when it did. I mean,
yes,
it feels like it. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's great. I've never had, I have had those situations happen. I mean, me moving here happened very quickly too, because I moved from New York. And mm-hmm. I was just watching a movie one day about this girl who, I don't even remember, she like fell, it was actually a gay movie. She fell in love with a woman and she'd never been a lesbian before she met this person. Mm-hmm. And she had to go back to where she was from at the end of the summer. And then she's like, I'm here in, you know, Georgia, but my heart's in Chicago. And I was like, oh my God, my heart's somewhere else. And I didn't know where, but it wasn't South Carolina. But I went to South Carolina. So mm-hmm. thanks, movies. Well, my parents lived here, so I moved into their house because it was free. But yeah, I also kind of feel like both of us, we're in a place that maybe we wouldn't have anticipated going, but we have found purpose here.
Agreed. Yeah. And definitely has birthed transformation, I feel like, in both of us in ways that we probably wouldn't have experienced had we not just said, okay, fine, I'm going.
Yeah. The other thing, well, transformation, but also transmutation. I don't know that I fully understand transmutation, but in my mind, it's this thing of like turning something that could be terrible into something good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what you understand, but I have had to do that. I've had to be like, all right, you get to make a decision if this is going to be the worst situation of your whole life or like something that you can actually learn from mm-hmm. and gain from. And I've been able to do that. And it's almost like you don't get that opportunity if the place you live in is, you know, perfect. Like if you're never challenged, if you're never experienced adversity or opposition, like you don't get the chance to be challenged like that. So
mm-hmm.
there is a reason yes. why we live in this red ass state with no legal weed. This is right. There's a reason. Right. Actually, there was no legal weed in Michigan, and then I left, and then there was legal weed in Michigan.
Yeah, it's legal now.
And there was no legal weed in New York, and then I left, and now it's legal there too. Like, I really yes. feel like I'm never supposed to smoke a joint ever. Fuck. We've spoken a little bit about this. Would you consider yourself to be queer, lesbian, non-binary?
I fall in the queer category, and I feel like as my journey in my queerness evolves, it's constantly changing. There's something about myself that I didn't know, and it comes out and it shocks me. But it's so cool.
Yeah. Were you kind of like, did you mention to me that you were late to realize your queerness or?
I want to say I was late to realize it, but only because how I grew up and the religion that I grew up in and then being heavily involved in religion in my adult life, I guess the more appropriate term would be in denial. Because you don't do that. You don't do that. So it was always there. I can always tell you that it was there, but because of how I was raised and being heavily involved in church, it was something that you just kind of tucked that under your pillow and you kept that there nice and quiet.
When you left Michigan, was it like getting out of a place where you weren't able to be fully yourself in that way or?
I was starting to explore it in Michigan. Because I had two friends that fell in love, and it was two women, And their relationship couldn't be public because of circumstances. And they confided in me. It was the first time I ever got asked to be a best man in somebody's wedding. But I started hanging out with them and going places with them, the gay hangouts and different things. And I was already kind of been, you know, like, wow, all right, well, this is interesting. And then all of a sudden, I find myself in South Carolina. And South Carolina, as you know, is night and day in comparison to Michigan, because we're very accepted in Michigan. We're very visible. It's not a big deal. I came to the South and it was just like, gay people? What? What? No. That doesn't go here.
Right.
So, you know, and ending up conforming into that. So I hope I answered your question, Drew.
You did. So, it almost seems like what I asked was like the opposite of what actually happened. Like, you ended up coming into a harder situation, but you still were kind of, you did get away from maybe family or the church that you were used to being around. Or maybe you'd already gotten away from that, like, while you were still in Michigan.
I did, for a bit. I did get away from it. I still had that yearning for that spiritual journey. And sometimes when you're looking, it's interesting, the things that happen.
Yeah. That's something I've been thinking a lot about lately, is how, like, as queer people, we have to remove ourselves from our own lives in order to survive sometimes, and create new lives, you know, which is transmutation too. Like, just like,
and then
what you end up with is almost like two lives that never intersect. And then I had a very like accepting family, and I still like had this life that they never knew about. And I was like very reluctant to let my family into like meet my friends, and like, none of my family ever want to travel anywhere. They're so damn lazy. So they didn't ever like try to meet any of my friends or get to know my life. But I think there was a reluctance there for them too, of like, you know, he doesn't maybe want us to know, or, you know, he'll let us know when he's ready. But I don't know. It's weird. It's weird how we do that. We have, and maybe not even two lives. Maybe we have multiple lives within one. Multiple communities that we participate in. I was also going to say that I find in the South, it's not even that like gay doesn't happen. It's like outward sexuality doesn't happen. Like, it's a very, like, I don't even see that many straight couples hand-holding or like kissing in public, unless like they're drunk at a bar or something. Like, older married couples, they never even stand too close together. People don't like to be naked. It's like, it's a very weird thing. And it's kind of like up is down and, you know, grass is blue and the sky is green. I mean, it's a mind fuck for me a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's so different. And it's so like, and I guess in my situation, I felt like, well, I've kept this hidden for so long. I want to explore every avenue of this, and I don't want to have to dumb it down, as the expression is. And you're right. You don't see it. I mean, and even if you mention it, or God forbid somebody sees you with anything rainbow on, it's like, you get that Darren headlights look.
Yeah. I'm even uncomfortable when I'm like manning the pee flag table at like the community garden, and people walk up and they go, "Oh, what's this?" And I'm like, like, yeah. Or like, I say something, anything about pee flag, and they're like, "What is pee flag?" And I'm like, oh God, do I have to like say what the acronym stands for? Like,
right.
Parents, friends, and families of lesbians and gays. I'm like, shit. But yeah, it's weird. And there's trauma there. Like, when I have to do events like that, I like have this like underlying stress, and I'm like, I either have to drink about it or like just remove myself or eat any food that's in sight. So usually it's all three. Yeah, it's weird again, that opportunity to experience the other side in your face, and and also feeling like I didn't feel like a minority when I lived in New York. Like I first of all, New York is wonderfully diverse in so many ways.
That it is.
But I didn't ever have to assume that the person I was talking to like was maybe like a mega Republican. Like I regularly have to watch myself talking about politics because the better chances here that I'm talking to a conservative person and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Exactly. Okay. I have to think twice about what or how I want to engage in this conversation.
Yeah. You said that Greenville was a lot more liberal though, or a lot more progressive.
It's more progressive. It's getting there as far as more liberal because you have people coming from all over the country and all over the world into that spot. I think it's in the top, either the top 10 or the top 5 places that's great to live in the United States right now. And, you know, you have, you know, of course you got Clemson there and you've got, gosh, what is it called?
Whole Foods.
That right there. Whole Foods is very important.
You got an REI, which I don't
go REI. Camping. Yeah. BMW, oh, Michelin.
That's right.
Yeah. So you have these big companies. And so they're bringing people from essentially all over the world. And people come into Greenville and they have this different experience of life and lifestyle. And for people who are native, and not all people, because I've encountered people who are native in Greenville that are very open-minded and genuinely open-minded and very accepting. But it rubs against the more conservative, I want to keep things real old school. We don't want you here because you're going to push our city to be more inclusive. It's going to happen because at the rate things are growing in Greenville, it's headed for like another Atlanta. And if you look at the history with even Atlanta, it started out very conservative and very red and then it flipped.
Yeah, it did.
It flipped because you had a mass amount of people come in from all over the place.
Yeah.
And you go, you and I both know, you go to Atlanta, it's like, and I don't know if you've been, but it's like wide open. And everybody's just kind of, Greenville's on its way. It's going to take a little longer, but it's on its way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing. I mean, I go to Charleston. It's like I get an idea of like what a city could be like, but it's not the same in Charleston. It's very old. And like there's college kids, but it's like they're wealthy white college kids a lot of times. Everyone's blonde. I don't know how they all are blonde. And it's almost like children acting like adults everywhere. But yeah, when you go to a real city, Atlanta's a real city. I love Atlanta. Like if I had to stay in the South, it would be Atlanta for me. It would be maybe Asheville or something like that, but I feel like Asheville might be too small. I don't know, like I need some food. I need some like you know.
Right. Asheville is beautiful too, and it's definitely more progressive, but it is small, it seems like.
And you get the feeling in Asheville, kind of like a Vermont, of like everyone's white. They're all liberal, but they're all white. And you're like, you know, so, I mean, white liberals can be really annoying. I'm a white liberal, so I know that's true. And I also love about Atlanta is there's so much like black excellence. Like I went there and was like, this place is fucking wonderful. Like there's a lot of good looking men and that's really important to me. But just like people like doing it, working, having houses, making it happen. And I'm just like, that's wonderful.
That's really wonderful.
So what was it like when you moved here, and why did you move here from Greenville?
Well, I moved here because I wanted to be closer to the coast, and I have been spewing that out of my mouth for years and years and years and years. I wanted to be closer to the water, or at least within 15 to 20 minutes. And we know how close that is.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do that. I was at a point in Greenville where I just didn't want to be there anymore. I'm just being 100% transparent. I didn't want to be there anymore. I felt almost similar to when I left Michigan. It was almost like it was throwing me out, you know? And while I have and still have some relationships there, I just wanted to go someplace different. And then having a relationship too is always a plus when you move somewhere as well.
Did you have a relationship? Like, did this relationship move with you? Did you find it here, the one you're currently in?
It's kind of a combination of both. they were already here. And, you know, it started out as just friendship and connection and just evolved. Mm-hmm. So it just, everything lined up. Everything, even with the job that I have currently, it lined up. And like, literally, I want to say, like, I had wrote it in my manifesting journal, put my citrine crystal on top of it, cast my spell, and like, I would say within a month, it was like, boom, here you go.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. And so it was time, and it was interesting because I had even shared it with my sister, who is still in Michigan. And I will see her in a couple weeks because I'm flying back in a few weeks. Yes. And she was like, yep, it's time. I've kind of felt like for a minute now that you needed to make a change and just do it. Just go and don't look back.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. I think we create all these contingencies. Like, it's like, well, I would move, but this thing, I got to figure out this thing. And a lot of it's always financial, but I mean, I'm going to be broke there. I'm going to be broke here. Like, you know, just get your car and leave sometimes. I think it's important. And, you know, what's so funny is I forget. I was very spiritual. I moved here and I started to slowly forget my spirituality. I was not religious, but I was very much about law of attraction, very much about like following my desire. And listening to that emotional compass of mine, got pretty good at it. And I think that was the big reason, one of the reasons why I moved away from New York, because I knew I needed to. But somewhere along the line, like living here, I've become a lot more rational, and everything's got to be the smart decision. Everything's got to, I've got to think it out first to make sure I'm making the right decision. And my passions end up getting pushed to the back because they're not making any money. But they're like the things that I literally want to be doing with my career and my life. I think that it's not a coincidence that you and I met each other.
No, I agree.
Because I need more spiritual people in my life and entrepreneurs who are invested in more than just making money. I mean, we gotta eat and shit. But like, you know, you're somebody who wants to learn more, which I want to learn more. You're somebody who's like making a podcast happen, even though they make no money, at least for the first 10 years or 5 years. Let's hope it's five. So you have a podcast, and I want to obviously talk about that. What is the name of your podcast?
It's called Authentically Me, The Real Life of Transformation.
I love that. And you have had, are you in your second season?
This is season 3.
Oh, season 3. Okay. And yes. It's on Spotify. Is it on any other platforms?
It is on Spotify right now.
Okay.
I'm going to say this for whoever listens to this or goes into the podcasting world. And Drew, you mentioned it. That is my business. And no, I'm not making a dime on it right now. And I think there are a lot of people who think because you have a podcast instantaneously, you're making money. No, you've got to do some work.
Yeah.
Before you can get there. Just like when you start a legit brick and mortar business, you're not going to turn a profit on that bad boy for a minute, right? Mm. So when you have your own podcast, as you and I do, you are the producer, you are the marketing director, you are the financial part, you are all of that shit, okay? You are the editing. You are making sure the sound is not fucked up, okay? You are doing every single piece of running a damn talk show, okay?
Yeah.
That's exactly what you are doing. And you have to love it, or if you hate it, don't keep doing it. And I find that a lot of people who do podcasts, they have a creative bug within them. They like to build things. They like to make connection with people in that way. But yeah, it's work. It's work. It takes time. You got to get followers, and it takes time for that.
Yeah.
So it is more than, I want to make a lot of money. I mean, you know, like I think about like Angie Martinez and some of these big heavy hitter podcast people. It took a minute.
Yeah, it does.
It took a minute. It is a marathon, not a sprint, as Matthew McConaughey said in the freaking movie. Okay. Okay.
In every movie.
Yeah, exactly. It takes time. But I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love that I chose to do it when I chose to do it. I started it with no fucking equipment. I had just closed my business. I had a studio salon. That's a whole nother story. We might have to do a part two. closed it down. And I'm like, how the fuck are you going to do a podcast? You don't got equipment. You don't know shit about doing a podcast. So I started doing research. Came out on TikTok. And I noticed that people started commenting, oh my gosh, thank you for sharing your story. I've walked through that. I've never been able to talk about it like you talk about it. You're brave, da 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 da. And I started to realize, I was like, wait a minute. This could be a blueprint for the podcast, because I knew I wanted to do one. I just didn't know how to start it.
Yeah.
Right? And we launched. It'll be a year in November.
Wow. And it's good. Like, I've listened to some. It is good. I can tell you prepare for your interviews. Like, you're asking good questions. You have very interesting guests on, which is always one of the other hard things, is finding fucking people to be on your podcast.
Yes.
Sometimes I just have to, like, you know, do voices and pretend like someone else is there. I'm kidding. That's never happened. Maybe once. And the other thing I find, it's almost like, do you ever listen to Esther Perel? You are like a fucking, like, shrink. Like, you, you know what to say, too. And, like, you're so supportive of your guests. And then, like, when they go, like, into an uncomfortable place for them, you're, like, right there with them. And you know what to say. And it's not like, oh, shit, that sucks. Like, that's what I would say. You're like, yeah. And then you, like, help them express a little bit more, like, what they're feeling in that moment. It's really beautiful. I really like
it. Thank you. Thank you. It is a safe space, but you have to be willing to be brave at the same time, too. And I try to, like, preface everybody with, hey, listen, this is a open forum, so you can cuss, you can say shit, fuck, damn, whatever you want to say. But is there anything you don't want to talk about? Because I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to ask you questions that's going to draw it out of you.
Yeah.
And I have to issue trigger warnings. You know all about that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
This last one that I did, you listened to it. I had to issue two trigger warnings on that one. But I started it because I feel like queer people, and I have people on there that aren't queer, that are allies and supportive. But with everything going on, and that has gone on to affect queer, trans, black, across the whole community, okay? Maybe if you sit down and really listen to the person instead of casting judgment based on how you've been conditioned, okay? And really think. And so I didn't want to go in and run for office and do politics or any of that bullshit. I didn't want to do anything like that. So I was like, okay, how can I fight back? But how can I get awareness out there and let people hear the stories of how it affects people, okay? Religious trauma, spiritual abuse, shit you go through, you know, domestic violence still happens in the queer community, mm-hmm. okay? You got narcissism, all that's still there. It's prevalent, but giving people space to talk about it, how they're navigating it and how they're healing from it. And it's not linear. It's, oh shit, I thought I dealt with that shit. Here's another trigger. Mm-hmm. You know, real life shit, not this happy-go-lucky. It's not depressing. Cause I mean, like I was talking to somebody recently, they were like, it sounds really depressing. I said, no. No, it's giving somebody the opportunity to tell their story and talk about how they walked through it, how uncomfortable it was, and what they're doing to heal.
Yeah.
And that comes in various forms, the healing for people.
Yeah. I mean, the only healing I've ever done, like real healing, was through like talking about shit. Like mm-hmm. actually, like when I'm feeling anxious, if I'm with someone I trust, I can explain to them, I feel anxious right now. And yeah. I'm not sure why, but I think it's this, and I can share with them my worries and my fears, and I instantly feel better. Like, right. It's when I'm like at work and I have some like 75-year-old white lady in front of me, and I'm like, she's like, but why can't I swim right now in the pool? And you're like, lady, I'm gonna throw up on you. I'm so anxious right now. So, get out of here.
Yes.
Yeah, I think talk therapy is the most important thing. I mean, there's other kinds of like therapy that are really great. I'm a big, you know, advocate for therapy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I take medication too. But like, I mean, that's just like to keep me from completely freaking out, I think, in the meantime. Mm-hmm. But, you know, telling stories, hearing stories, hearing your story and other people's stories, like it's mm-hmm. so important. And it's a huge part of how humans have always been. Like, we're communal animals. We have to talk. We have to tell stories. We have to be around each other, you know?
We do. Yeah. We do. We do.
Sometimes.
And I love what you said. Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes you. Yeah. No. I had a lesson about that recently. We won't go into that. But... you said hearing each other's stories and hearing ourselves in each other's stories. It's so important. That right there, every single last interview that I have done, I find myself, a piece of myself in each person. Mm-hmm. You can relate to something. And talk therapy is important. I'm a huge advocate for therapy. I've been in therapy like the last 4 years. There's nothing wrong if you have to take medicine to help you be able to have a better quality of life. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have a demon. You don't have a spirit, as I've heard. It is something that has been put in place to help you function better. Yeah. And there's no shame in that at all. There's no shame in that. And nobody should make anybody feel bad for having to take something or telling them they don't need to take anything. You know, that's bullshit. I've heard that too.
Yeah. I wonder, I've never thought about that, how religious people feel about taking medication. I know like certain religions are anti-medication mm-hmm. or anti-treatment at all of any kind. but, you know, I guess that's interesting. That's interesting that someone might be like, oh, you just need to be exercised. You don't need Zoloft. You have a demon inside of you.
Yeah. It's and I have heard and lived through this shit. I mean, conversion therapy is a real bitch. You know, when you're hearing, you know, it's just too much. Now, I'm not going to say all people in organized religion are like that. But you got some people that run on the extreme.
Yeah.
And I got more exposure to that in the better part of my adult life, being in the Christian church and parts of Christianity. But it's ridiculous. It's there. It's available. Take it. Yeah. And there's no shame. And anybody shaming you for trying to do it, you need to really strongly consider ejecting yourself from their presence and from what they're saying.
Self-eject. Yeah, it's funny because, like, I think a lot of religious people would be like, well, if you're experiencing this kind of hardship, you're not praying hard enough. You're not asking for God to save you or help you enough. And that's such gaslighting because it blames the victim for their own problems. It's like, yeah, you're not worthy enough of God's love or whatever. And
yeah, I heard there was a woman, and I was married for a long time, and I was in a heterosexual marriage. And there was some people we stayed with while I had a very turbulent time in my health. I walked through something that I wouldn't wish on anybody. And along those lines, the woman said to me, if you, and I quote verbatim, this is what she said, if you really believe the Bible and what it says, you wouldn't be walking around acting as pitiful as you are. And I thought, wow. Fuck you too. You know? You know, no. And the thing is, you know, that it's like you said, it's gaslighting.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, and I mean, it's like what I was explaining to someone this probably like yesterday or today, that I don't like the term committing suicide, because it's not the person's fault. Like, if you're in a mental place, it's not your fault that you're in the mental place you're in. You know, if you are, if you're a victim to suicide, that you become a victim to suicide, but it's something that happens to you. Like, it's, yeah. I mean, I could just wake up one day and just not feel good. That's how mental illness is. And because I'm a person who's experienced trauma in the past, like, oftentimes I just have bad days. I'm never going to be like, there's never going to be a time when I don't just sometimes have a bad day for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you're human. And we all have, I have days. I don't take anything as far as a pharmaceutical, just because of the way my body is and what I have to navigate in my body. But I have my days. I have my days of, okay, well, I don't feel good, and I don't feel good mentally, and I don't feel good emotionally. That doesn't make me this unsafe person. You know, yeah. It's just trying to navigate that. And I remember, especially when I was really, really sick, that was a huge struggle, because I went from being this very active person that could jump up and go out and run a couple miles a couple times a week to, oh gosh, you're bedridden, you know? So there's a lot that people don't consider when it comes to dealing with mental and emotional things. We are all, can we just acknowledge that we're all human? We're not superhuman. Right. You know, right. We're human. So yeah.
It's crazy. Okay, I'm going to play a clip from your podcast that I really like.
Okay.
And then we can talk about it and where to go. You know, I'm not a Spotify user. I'm such an Apple head.
We're working on that, Drew. This is where I need. Yes. We are going to collaborate on this, and you're going to help me get this shit on Apple Podcasts finally, because I have been struggling. And we could talk about RSS feeds and all that later. But
we're going to do that.
Yeah. Like, this shit. Oh,
with a drink in hand.
Yes.
Well, so, but what I think is amazing is that you're releasing not just audio on your podcast on Spotify, but you also have video recordings too.
Look, dude, I just did that for the first time.
Really? It.
Yes. I was fine with doing the audio. And then there was a little thing that tripped me up when I did the audio because of how things are running with Spotify.
Mm. Yeah.
I told you that little secret in text, I think. Mm-hmm. But I don't care. I'm just like, all right, well, I'm just going to move all that other shit over. We're just going to keep it rolling because you know how it is in our industry. It's always changing. Something always shifts. It could be one way today and something else tomorrow.
Yeah. And it's only getting bigger. And, you know, all these celebrities have podcasts now and all these big endorsements. Like the only people that have sponsorship are people that don't need sponsorship, basically.
Right. Right. And it's, oh, we can talk about that too. We can talk about that too, man.
Okay, let's play this clip and hopefully it'll be audible. Let's see.
Okay.
So I wanna speak into that big time now. Your daughter saved your life.
Yes.
And this is a real issue right now. Like with anybody within the queer community that's particularly trans, okay? It's an issue. And it's not something that should be downgraded. It's not something that should be belittled. It's a real heart issue. Here you are talking about something where you're like, you know what? My existence is making it hard for everybody else. So I'm going to go ahead and just cease to exist. And then you have your daughter speak life into you. And tell you to take an hour to rethink it, and you rethought it. You get on the phone with your therapist, and then you see, again, like I say all the time, you're on this planet for a reason. Your life has purpose. And what? Did you ever think that you were going to be sitting in front of a microphone telling your story? People need to know you're here.
That is so true. I never thought.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, I forgot we was crying.
Y'all were crying?
Yes! That's why you hear the little sniffles. Yes.
And you guys were live in studio together, right?
Yeah, we were live in studio together. Because there was this wonderful space in Greenville. It's called Save Rain. Like, Save Rain. Mm-hmm. Beautiful plant store, queer owned on Pendleton in Greenville. And that was an amazing experience because they were allowing people to use the studio for free to record the podcast. And I was the first one and the only one using it for a while. And I found out about it through that podcast guest, Stacy.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, remember I told you I had no equipment. I didn't have shit.
You just got to start, you know, like my whole first season or maybe my two first seasons were like just on my phone, just recording with. And then what sucks is when you spend money on good equipment and then you're like, God damn it, that iPhone sounds better than my fucking microphone does. Like, why did I do any of it?
Right.
It sounded like at one point in the episode, was her wife in the studio with you guys?
Yes. She was in the studio and she was in front of us. And, you know, it was a lot of emotions in that episode. I mean, because they're telling their story, their business they had to close their business because Stacy started her transition and it was located in a very conservative part of Greenville. And people, I mean, they were doing great for a while. And then when she started her transition, people strategically got together and started boycotting that business and they had to shut the doors.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So transphobia ruins people's lives and people's dreams. And they have a testimony about that.
Yeah. And it sounds like, I mean, Stacey's someone who, I keep hitting my microphone. I'm going to put my hand down here. Stacey's somebody who kind of like accepted that she was trans fully much later in life. Had a wife before she started transitioning, had kids throughout the process, and sounds like someone who like just kept putting herself on the back burner so that she could make other things in life that she really wanted, like a family. Like, mm-hmm. she had to remove herself in order. It's just like, you have to remove yourself to move to a bigger city if you're queer. Like, she had to remove herself from mm-hmm. her own marriage, from her own, like, being a parent to, like, still have that family somehow. It's like a weird, it's like being still there, but being not fully there in order yeah. to make it work. And just sitting on that, like, on the fence that whole time.
Yeah, exactly. It was, that was a powerful launch episode.
Yeah.
Like, we went in and she came back for another one. She's going to come back because she's got some updates okay. for us. So I'm hoping to bring her back on season 3 next year.
The other thing I like about hearing her, I like Stacey's voice. I feel like she just sounds like a normal person. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're getting at is that, like, there's an extraordinary story in everyone's life. Like, yes. even the most normal person has had shit happen. And if mm-hmm. they start talking about it, they start going like, wow, my life is really, really means something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, that is, this is just ordinary, everyday people. You know, I mean, we hear the stories of celebrities and authors and stuff like that, but these are, you know, and some of these people will evolve into maybe something like that, but these are just regular everyday people that are just yeah. telling their story, and everybody has an amazing story.
I think we're always, like, really interested in people that have already achieved, like, great things, but we don't understand that, like, there's an evolution to that, and part of what allows people to create great things and achieve their, like, highest aspirations is that at some point they had to take themselves seriously. And at some point they had to say, like, my life has meaning. Like, if they, mm-hmm. if you don't reach that point, you don't elevate. And, I mean, it comes in spurts. Like, I haven't, it's not like one day you just have meaning. It, you go back and forth, especially if you get knocked down by shit.
Mm-hmm.
You go through periods where you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, and that sucks. Is okay. And I think society, well, at least here in this country, I feel like, it's like you can't have those moments.
Right.
You can't do that. You have to be on your grind shit all the time. Yeah. And I think that that's what causes a lot of issues, you know, because it doesn't really allow for you to feel, you know. You need to be able to feel, and you need to be able to, you know, say, listen, I'm having a really shitty time, day, or I'm just in this really dark, shitty space. And I just need to just be right now. Or I need to, like, you know, I know somebody that's a friend of mine, and she wouldn't mind me mentioning this. You know, there were days where she had to, it was a big deal for her to go take a shower. It was yeah. just a big deal. And some people were like, well, I can't understand that. No, you can't. You know why? Because you haven't had anything bring you into that space yet in your life. I hope you don't have to, but you're not going to be able to relate to what she's dealing with because you have not entertained that space. So I don't really want to hear how you think it is.
Right. Right.
You know, for you, you can jump up and do X, Y, and Z. And I was that person. Okay, I was that person, and I had my awakening. I know what it's like to be suicidal. I know what it's like to deal with depression. I know what it's like to not shower and be in my bed and not want to get out my bed. I know what that's like.
Yeah.
You know, and it is, for everybody, it looks different, but I just think that we spend too much time finding out what's wrong instead of, or focusing on what's wrong instead of actually listening and learning. Yeah.
And I think too, like, sometimes something's not right. Something doesn't feel good. And we're more concerned about, yeah, finding a remedy for it. How can I quickly feel better? And instead of saying, like, wait, this is a voice that I maybe have been ignoring. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something that this is just another tool for navigation here.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really good tarot reading that cost like $20 at this bar the other night. And it just, the point of the whole thing was just fucking, have you even been listening to yourself? Like, have you even been like doing things you want to do or like trusting your own intuition? And I'm like, oh no, I haven't. Not for like 5 years. Oh girl, what'd you break?
Oh, I just dropped my earrings. Oh,
damn, those are earrings. I thought that was a coaster on the floor.
Sorry. Hope you can edit that out.
Well, my dog was barking too. And then, no, it's all good. I actually I like to get a little amount of background noise in my recordings.
Good.
For all of season one, we just ate the whole time. And I was like, we really need to stop eating while we're doing this.
That is
hysterical. Or we're gonna have to issue a trigger warning for people that don't like the sound of chewing.
Right.
Wow. So finding community here, how long have you been here?
I moved here in June.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I moved here in June. It's funny because I haven't made it public knowledge. And it's so funny because I was talking to a friend. There are certain the people, obviously, you know, I'm here because you met me. Right. Mm-hmm. But there are still a lot of people that don't know I left Greenville. Some know and some are starting to figure it out.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Right. I got a message from somebody just this morning like, yo, I haven't seen you at shit. I mean, where are you? And I'm like, yeah.
She went out for cigarettes and she hasn't been back.
She hasn't been back. I moved here in June and this move was for me. This was for me. And I told the parties that are in my inner circle that needed to know. And I just moved because I just did. It was just like, okay, I'm going. And town is, it's tiny. But it's a cool town. I'm still trying to develop community here. I had a little hissy fit about it recently.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, I'm just trying to find where my peeps are. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just trying, and it gets frustrating sometimes. And I finally just said, you know what? Just like this was easy. That's going to come easy, but it's going to come when it's supposed to come. So slowly I've been meeting people like yourself and some of the people that have been at open mic and through PFLAG as well. So it's a work in progress.
Yeah. I think a part of like the loss of spirituality for me that's been rough is that I don't trust myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't trust that like the universe fucking has me. Like I'm going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there is like, I believe there's a plan. I don't know who's in charge of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels like it's me, but most of the time it's not. But yeah, I think having faith, I think for someone like me, who's such a godless heathen, I don't even use the word faith, but you can have faith in yourself. You can have faith in the universe. You can have faith in a lot of things. You can have faith in relationships, like, mm-hmm. and trust, you mm-hmm. know, I'm not a very trusting person. And I want to be able to ask for help more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. I want to be able to drop the ball and know that like someone's going to catch it.
Right. It's important.
Yeah.
It's very, very important. I always say the universe has your back. And I have to say that to myself sometimes because I start not to believe it. Yeah. Too. That's also part of being human too. But I agree with you. I'm still learning that in that arena of, you know, accepting help, you know, and just allowing the universe or whoever, source, divine, whatever you want to call it, do whatever they need to do. Because I always say they.
I like that.
Yeah, I always say they because I believe it's more than one, but I feel like they are genderless.
Oh, yeah. They've got to be.
You know, I don't even want to get caught up in all of that because, you know, people start looking at you like you crazy when right. you start talking like that. And it's not because I just don't think that they've had that experience to see that it's not limited to just that building on Sunday morning. Okay. Yeah. It's beyond that. It's way beyond that. And there are tools that we have that we can use, but sometimes it's just like, hey, listen, I'm just going to take my toe and dip it in this water and see what's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, we're only really here to put ideas into like physical form. Like you mm-hmm. have to experiment, you have to try things out and you're going to be afraid. You just have to like, if you want it really bad, you just got to fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless it's going to kill somebody, don't kill anybody, but like, you know.
Yes. I
don't
agree.
Feel like I don't want to kill anybody, so I mean that's good.
Yes.
What do you have anything else you want to mention that's going on or that you're about right now?
What am I not about? I think we'll see. I'm here, I'm working, and I started college. I have never been to college.
That's right. You did just start college and you're going to be studying journalism as a part yep. of your plan?
Yep. So it is right now Associates of Arts in the marketing track, concentration rather, mm-hmm. and then transferring to get the bachelor's in communications and the minor in journalism. All of this with the intention of enhancing podcasts. I have some big dreams for this podcast. Very, very like, could make you go diarrhea on yourself kind of dreams. Because, I mean, I have this big cup on my desk in my office. I can see it. Somebody gave this to me many, many years ago, and it says Dreamer on it. Yeah. Now, I chipped the motherfucker and almost killed my girlfriend with it. So I had to take it and move it and put it on my desk. And it's the home of all my pens and markers and pencils for when I'm doing all of my notes for lecture and stuff like that, because I can't just write in black pen. I have ADHD brain. So I just have to have different colors so that I'll stay interested and stuff like that. But yeah, so that was huge for me. And let's just get real for a minute, Drew. I had convinced myself that I wasn't smart enough to go to college. I'm going to be very vulnerable because I asked my guests to get vulnerable. So I'm going to get vulnerable and exemplify it. I listened to imposter syndrome on top of some religious things that I grew up with. I grew up Jehovah's Witness. And when I was growing up in that, extra education was like frowned upon majorly. Everything was complete devotion to that organization. And anything that was going to take you away from it, that's not on radar. So I went to trade school. I became a cosmetologist, a nail tech. I've been in the beauty industry, God, over 20 years now. And I got to a space where my body got tired. And while it's a great creative outlet, it's taxing on the body.
Yeah.
It's taxing on the body. And I knew that I had set intentions and wrote down anytime there was a new moon or if we were in some sort of celestial phenomenon. I'll just say that. I know that's very extreme.
Love that. I love that.
You know, I would say I want my podcast to be this, or my podcast will be this. The podcast would, I have the equipment for my podcast. And I just kept staying in that frame of mind. And I finally just said, you love this so fucking much. Go to school. Go to school. Mm-hmm. So I am doing math and I have to hire a tutor. have to hire a tutor to help me with my fucking math. Because integers and algebra and pi and shit like that. I'm like, this ain't got shit to do with podcasting. And it ain't got shit to do with my other project that I'll talk about because you asked me what else was on the horizon. But it was kind of like that when I went to beauty school. I threw my textbook across the room because I was like, this is bullshit. I just want to do hair.
Yeah.
And so I'm in school. And I am allowing it to expand and grow me and make me terribly uncomfortable. Because the end result will be marvelous.
It will be.
I say that right now with acid reflux. So, you know.
Yeah.
Just want you to know that I'm going to take some Tums when we get off of here.
I took a Tums today. And, you know, life.
Right? Yeah. So, I'm walking that path now. And it's exciting. I'm starting to meet other people through that now. The other project that I'm working on is I am writing a memoir. And I started that in 2019. Memoirs take time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm writing my life story full of twists and turns and trauma and conversion therapy and religious abuse, but also self-discovery, transformation, and coming into my authentic self.
Yeah. There might need to be a part two for that memoir.
Yes, there'll be a part two for that. So that's what's going on. And getting ready to go back to Detroit. Haven't been home in 4 years.
Wow.
And gonna be on an airplane. Ain't been on a airplane since well before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So, but this is going to be good to help with content for the book, revisiting, you know, that other person from before.
Yeah. I mean, I'm amazed. It seems like you have like a lot of natural journalistic intuition. Like you're good at, seems like you're good at taking notes, writing shit down, doing research.
Yes.
I was like, just thinking, I was like, cause I was listening to your podcast earlier. And I was like, does she like interview this person and then interview them on recording? Like she like knows their story already, like she's knows what to ask because she knows about them. And I was like, what, you can like find out about a person before you start recording? I was it like blew my fucking mind.
No, I do have rapport, virtual meetings where I sit and talk to you.
Yeah.
And I always like to give them my story of vulnerability and just things in that, and then we talk. It's just like two people having a glass of wine or a cocktail over the computer if they're virtual. I know you and I were trying to do in person, but I had to come home and take care of Mr. Robbie, who was over there, by the way.
Cats are so high maintenance.
I mean, yeah, he's so extra. He's so damn extra. It's not funny. I build rapport, and that way it helps when we do go down to recording. Mm-hmm. It's more, the conversation flows better because we've talked a little bit.
Well, and I think what I also realized listening to your podcast was that like, you're talking to a person who wants to tell their story. Mm-hmm. Like in my mind, I've begged this person to be on my podcast, and I'm lucky that they sat down with me for an hour. But they want to tell their story. Otherwise, they would have said no.
Right.
And you're like a guide in helping them to tell that story. Like, so you've got the blueprint a little bit. You can steer it in this direction or that. You're not, it's not, there's no gotcha moment. It's just like, this is what you feel comfortable talking about. And I'm going to make sure you can talk about it. And I really like that. It was comforting to listen to.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that it spoke to you, darling. Now, and I have listened to yours too, but I know I don't want to exhaust time, but your podcast and how
you I'm open to compliments or criticisms.
I love the fact that you're so willing to talk about everything in the way that you do. And it's very candid. It's just like, here you go. Here you go. And the title, like I was telling a coworker today about it, and she's like, now what's it called again? I was like, oh, you'll remember this. And she went right on. She was looking for it right away. So, yeah. Like, make sex with me. Like, come on, Drew. That's like catching. And of course, she had all these dirty questions for me. You know, like, what are we talking about?
Ooh. Well, yes. So, I mean, I think, like, sex sells, you know? It so does. That's in there. But, I mean, I always knew that. Like I toyed so much with the title. I was gonna call it like Body Talk. I was gonna call it, which is like the name of a Robin album. I was gonna call it like Spirit Sex, or like I've always been this person, and maybe I sound like a cult leader, I don't know, that like really doesn't think there needs to be such a divide between like our sexual lives and like our spiritual side and our, you know, all the different things. I like to mash it all up, you know. Yes. And I mean, I think we're working towards that as a society, but oftentimes, like, you know, you can't talk about politics in a sex podcast. You can't talk about spirituality in a sex podcast. Like, there's only so many dirty things we could talk about. And mm-hmm. we talk about those too. But, you know, obviously, I mean, and I'm in my late 30s now. I'm not horny all the time anymore. I thought I would be. Half the time I'm like, just I have awkward funny things to say about like what I'm discovering with my body. The last two sexual, maybe three sexual experiences I've had were all really like kind of weird, you know. And I know, like, so I love to talk about that. I mean, my last episode I just recorded my friend having a colonoscopy. Like, it's just nothing.
I listened to that.
Nothing's off limits. Yes. But it's definitely not like a curated podcast. Like, we plan very little. And we just pray that something interesting will happen.
And I think that's the whole point. It doesn't have to be super curated. It can just, this is the flow of how we're going to let this roll. And it's tearing down the societal norms of what it's supposed to look like, you know? And I think you navigate that very, very, very well. And you're very seasoned at what you do. So I'm like, we are getting together in person and we are having cocktails. And I'm going to pick the fuck out of your brain. Because yes. There's so much. I feel like you're like the senior in high school in podcasts. I am like that middle schooler that's just about to cross over into a freshman. You know, I feel like that. I mean, and that's a huge compliment. I mean, I hope you take it that way, because I'm forever a student in our world. And I always want to learn, like, dude, if I can work this shit smarter and not harder, sit my black ass down and educate me about it.
Yes, I agree. Yes. I always think that, you know, you should enter a room assuming you don't know. Not that you don't know anything, but that you don't know everything. Like, you should never assume you know everything about mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. Although you should give yourself credit where credit is due, you know?
Right.
But no, I think we could both learn a lot from each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm someone who I create with people actually really well, mm-hmm. But not all people, but I mm-hmm. co-create with people really well. And that's been hard too, because, you know, not everyone wants to host a podcast
mm-hmm.
or co-host a podcast. So it's kind of like every episode you get like a different co-host. I mean, if you have a guest every time, it's a different relationship each time.
It is.
Very exciting.
It's exciting. It's a lot of work. I don't know. Maybe we should start like a podcasters group that's local, like a meetup.
That would be cool. That would be
really cool, and collaborate together, because I'm sure there are other people down here doing it or near here.
Yeah. It might just be about fishing, but we'll find somebody.
Yeah, we'll find somebody, you know, fishing.
There are there's Reddit groups for podcasters I know that are really cool. Like, you can, I think it's just like subreddit podcasters, and you can ask questions, and a lot of people have like good advice for you too. So you can check that out.
Sweet.
Nat Williams, your podcast is Authentically Me, The Real Life of Transformation. And you've got a memoir coming out. We're waiting for, anticipating with much excitement.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting. I like it.
And we'll work, we'll drink, and we'll talk, and we'll work, and then I'll come on your show.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Wait till I come back from Detroit, though. Let me get these couple weeks out.
That's fine. Oh, yeah. We're going to need time. I'm going to wear something nice. It might be, I mean, people might see my face. I'm actually going to do my hair.
Yeah. You're going to be on camera, darling.
Okay. Okay. I could do that. I have to learn my angles. I mean, this is a good like platform if you don't ever want someone to see you, but a lot of podcasts are doing audio and visual nowadays.
Audio and visual, and just, you know, you can sip. I mean, I think the last episode of season two, we were on Instagram Live, and it was me and my closest friend, and she had bourbon and I had a glass of wine, and we were online like toasting each other on video. That's
I love that.
It was the send-off, because I was going on sabbatical.
I think that probably like 50% of podcasters drink while they're recording.
Oh, yeah, because nerves and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want the bloopers so I can make a blooper reel, though. You know?
Yeah, I have a lot of those. I have a lot of those. I mean, generally, like, I think we're going to be like... perfect with time, and I don't think I have to cut much out. I might just have to like cut a couple words out here and there, but like generally, like I will record like 3 hours for like an hour and a half episode, and then well, that's not all the time, but sometimes, and it's a nightmare to edit out, because you have to cut, you have to cut it in half. You have to be like, I talked about something so stupid for 45 minutes. Let's cut that out. It has nothing to do with this podcast.
Oh my gosh.
I know that happens sometimes. Because there's this fear that like you're gonna miss something. So you have to record everything.
Yes.
And occasionally that does happen where you turn the microphone off and then something so funny happens. You're like, God damn it. Like that would have been perfect.
Right.
But again, you gotta have faith that, you know, genius will happen again and again. And one of these times you'll catch it.
Absolutely. Well, I have enjoyed this in my pajamas.
Those are your pajamas? You look good. Thanks. I thought you were wearing like this like muumuu.
It's a muumuu. It's a muumuu, but I use it for like pajamas.
Perfect.
It makes me feel free. I'll just say that.
I love that. I want to feel like a madam in a brothel. Like, this is my house. That's all I wanted. Well, have so much fun in Detroit. Give Michigan a kiss for me, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you soon, Drew.
Thank you guys so much for joining us again. Me and my Michigan friend Nat. I love Michiganders. They are the best people. They're so nice. So nice. Thank God being with her didn't make my accent come out more than it already is. You guys, please like, rate, review, subscribe wherever you tune in to our podcast. And if you want, you can write in to makesexwithmepodcast@gmail.com. Check out our link tree in the show notes for all of our social media platforms. And as per usual, you guys, I hope that you are filling your holes with whatever makes you happy. Goodbye.